Hey, so glad you're here because I have another ignited entrepreneur on the show today to share what they did to ignite their business and their life. This is Jess Coulthard, your host. And as always, you're invited to listen in to another conversation about business, entrepreneurship, and why following your passion is the best way to ignite your life.
Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Ronsley Vaz. He is the founder and chief energy officer at Amplify. Ronsley, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am very excited to have you here because you are a fellow podcaster.
For a long time. Well, I think podcasting years is like dog years, I think. So it, for me, I feel I'm new to the game, but every time I'm talking to people, I realize that I've been here for a while, but there have been people longer than I have in the game that need to be respected for all they've put into the platform. But yeah, love the medium, love using voice for different reasons. So excited for this.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got to be where you are today? Like, how did podcasting come into your world?
So how did podcasting come to my world is a probably a more is a better is more of a specific answer than where I am today, because oh my God, Jessica, I'm sure that if you had to recount your life, you'd go this is an up and down journey, and there's so many don't know where exactly to begin. But for podcasting, my first business was a failed restaurant that shut overnight, and I had a $478,000 of debt that I had to pay back, and I was 3 months married. And I got a job almost the following week, but I was not employable because I had multiple jobs. But I started what was the Uber for chefing, where chefs would go into people's homes and cook meals for them once a week and put in their Google Calendar, their fridge and freezer. And then, we do that based on taste and goals and all that kind of stuff. And to promote that and the idea that food was a key bedrock of all the decisions we made because of the conversations we have around food, I started a podcast called Bon Appetit that went out three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it got to 1 million listeners in 4.5 months. And that's how it all started, really. So yeah, that was 2013.
Wow. You know, I agree. You know, food is definitely something that connects us
in so many ways, because we all have stories around food. And I've done 1,400 interviews maybe in the last, since 2013. And, you know, the food stories, there's so many, they're all different and they're all the same at the same time. It is insanely beautiful. So huge fan of the medium, huge fan of food, huge fan of how conversations, how we can have or create a space where conversations can be had. So I think that it was always kind of written in my stars that this was something that I was going to do. Because voice was such a thing that was questioned all the time, mine especially growing up. So there's a great quote by a friend of mine, Philip McKernan, who I think the quote goes like, your greatest gift lies next to your deepest pain. And I believe this to be true for how I've landed up in podcasting. So yeah, I think every time my voice is used, I'm in this process of kind of going, huh, that's interesting that I said that. And it's interesting that we went down that path. So I'm excited for this conversation because we don't know where it's going to go.
That's one of the things that I love. I purposely don't script these. so that we can just take it where it needs to go. And, you know, it's never going to be the same. Even if I had scripted it, I'd feel like it would never really be as pure and authentic as where we just choose to take it. Right. So you said that, and I don't want to dive too deep into your past, but you said that there was a history there for you where maybe as a child, not being allowed to use your voice or maybe having some negative effects from doing that. I love how, you know, one of the patterns that I start to see after interviewing as many people over the last year and a half that I have, see, I'm still quite new, but there's a pattern there. I find that a lot of people get into what they're doing almost to heal themselves. And then they take it and then they teach other people and they show them through their own struggles and their own accomplishments that it is possible. So do you feel that now that you're kind of on the other side of it, that that's what's also happened for you?
I couldn't agree more. I think you get to a point where as an entrepreneur, it's not sustainable if it's not connected somehow, right? And what we connect to is our own journey of life. And I believe that I don't think I'm on the other side necessarily. I don't think that I think I'm probably walking the line in a lot of ways. So for me, I think of getting into the game and learning more. And I told you about how I got into it, but now I realize, wait a minute, my ancestors did not even have the opportunity to say what they wanted to say whenever they wanted to say it. And this freedom of speech and me having a platform is way bigger than, you know, how many clients or how many listeners. So there's an element of responsibility that you kind of go, oh, I know this now. And, you know, I almost feel like it holds me to represent or to walk, to preach, to practice what I preach, really. So I forgot what the question was, but we're here now. So
no, and you know, I love what you're saying though. Like, I was just taking it back to your own personal childhood, but I love that you've gone even farther back with it and really holding it to your heritage and respecting and probably feeling, like you say, a responsibility even to be able to honor that. I think that's beautiful, and that you have created this platform not only once, but you have a couple of podcasts that you do as well, right? So, correct. I mean, what a beautiful opportunity to honor that.
Yeah, and we help some of the most famous people on the planet. I mean, we've helped them create their own platforms and use their own voices for their own reasons. And, you know, over the last 7 years or however long, like, to say that I've helped thousands of people is not an understatement, because I have the first podcasting conference in Australia that started in 2015 and has been going every year. So this and again, it was all about keeping it pure to the thing, primarily because I'm half Indian, half Portuguese. So there's a Indian background. I grew up in India. Indian accents aren't the most prettiest accents on the planet, by the way. So, you know, there's a whole pain around that and fitting in and coming to Australia 21 years ago. Even though English is my first language, that's all I spoke at home. So there's an element of that. Then there's an element of realizing that the ability to say whatever you want to say and have anyone listen to it is a new thing. It hasn't been around for a long time, and taking that for granted. I think there's a layer of different elements from childhood and growing up and fitting in and kind of going, wait, I make a living using my voice now? That is weird, right? So, yeah.
But so cool. Like, isn't it amazing what we're able to do when we just decide that we want to? And that's the beauty of, you know, the time that we live in right now, is there's so many opportunities to be able to share our voice, share our vision, share our passion.
Yeah. And see who else cares and who else you can, you know, who feel the same way, because it's not only about us. And I think it starts with us, but then finding the bigger mission is probably what keeps the longevity of it going. You know, there's only certain to a certain point that numbers can kind of like drive someone, I suppose.
So what do you think drives you? Why do you do it?
Novelty, I'd say.
Novelty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the novelty of, for me personally, is just been about learning. Like if I, I'll be 41 soon. And if I recount what I've done in 41 years, it's like crazy. Like I've got a couple of master's degrees. I've had so many businesses. I've written a book. My TEDx talk got made a TED talk. Like I can't, like, and so when I start to think about the podcast and putting that all out there and kind of like going, what drives me? I don't know. I think shiny ball syndrome. Like I look at new shiny things and go after that. Like I've been a chef, a financial advisor, a software engineer by trade. Shiny ball syndrome. Like I'm just distracted by things, and you know, novelty is probably what drives me, I think.
So have you got something else that's getting your attention these days, or do you think you'll be sticking with the podcasting and your media agency or your marketing agency?
There's nothing that I, you know, that is like that I'm on to next yet.
I love the yet. But it's probably, just keeps that door open, right?
Yeah, I'm positive that it's around the corner at some point, because it happens, and for me to think otherwise is I don't know about podcasting necessarily. I feel like the drive to help voices be heard is something that is very unique to me at this point, and I've kind of like gone, oh, this huge line of it that making sense. So how, what that looks like and how that manifests in what way, I don't know, but I do think that I've been gifted with the opportunity to help people find their voices, and it's just about what medium or what that looks like in terms of the medium.
So other than the podcast, so you help people find their voice as well with what you do?
Yeah, I mean, find your voice is one of the terms that I'd like to change. It's more about using your voice, because it's not necessarily finding it, because it's the usage of your voice, which through institutions and the way we've been brought up, we've been taught not to use it in a way that causes disruption, which then fosters us not, doesn't allow us to have these, doesn't allow us to give our thoughts an audience. So we just have them in our head and it drives us crazy and we don't know how to express them. And that's a whole mental health issue in itself, right? So I think that the elements of us using our voice allows us to refine our argument. And I believe that Clubhouse will help us change that as well, because it allows us to refine our argument live and you can't filter it. You just say whatever you have to say. You get called out the way you get called out. You can't hide if you say some dumb shit. So at least here you can edit it out and all that kind of stuff. But I believe that Clubhouse will help us refine our voices and refine our arguments, because normally what tends to happen is if we don't agree with someone, we just go no, rather than perspective and having the ability to question our belief systems on the topic. So there's a whole bunch of underlying elements here. And then when you think about someone doing that and consciously sitting in the space where they get to hear their argument and refine their argument, and then there's a whole bunch of people that are in your life or around or on social or however that are looking at that and kind of going, oh, it doesn't have to be Instagram influencer type, you know. So there's a whole array of domino effects that happen as a result of you just kind of like doing your thing and saying your thing and then going, okay, that's the next thing, that's the next step, and just being in the moment. So I would like to ask you that question, because you've been doing this for a while, and then, you know, what comes up for you when you think about what drives you?
I can tell you exactly what drives me, because I've done some work around this. And have you heard of a 7 levels deep exercise? Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
No. So you basically ask yourself or a friend, if you want to work with them, what's important to you? And then you keep on digging down through the whys. And so for me, what came up around my business in general was my highest intention with my business is joy. So everything that I do is about joy. So this podcast, the fact that you and I get to have this conversation about, you know, amplifying our voices and sharing our message, this is my idea of a good time. Right? And so I find that so long as I'm following my joy, whatever that looks like in the moment, the universe opens up to me and says, here you go. What more joy can I bring you? And that's what's happened for me ever since I discovered this for myself. So that's why I do everything in my life, and especially my business now. So,
yeah, the best thing about a podcast is that you can borrow people's energy, or you get exposed to someone else's energy for a little bit, which is like really gratifying, because it shifts yours ever so slightly. If you're aware, or you know, if you're really aware, you're like, oh wow, that was a game changing conversation. So yeah, it's a phenomenal platform, and you know, I was convincing businesses that a podcast was a good idea, and got thrown out of businesses at times, kind of going, wait a minute, you think that a podcast is going to solve our problems? And now everyone is podcasting, at least in our world, like when I look around, like, you know. So it's really awesome to see that I called something early in the game as well, you know. I'm just happy to play, really.
Yeah, I'd love to learn more about your experience with, Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Because I'm personally not on there. I have not been an Apple person, and unfortunately, they're not ready for Android yet. So I haven't had an opportunity, but I've had so many people try to convince me that I need to be there. So this weekend, I'm actually finally going to break down and go buy myself an iPad so that I can do it. Nope.
No, they have Android. Android is, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, they've released beta for Android. Yeah.
All right. I'm jumping in there because I've heard so many amazing things. So, I I'd love to hear your experience.
Yeah, I mean, Clubhouse has been interesting because I got invited to Clubhouse in November last year because some of my friends are investors and have been on the platform since June, maybe. And I got invited, but I thought it was another social media thing. I'm off social media, really. I'm off email entirely. I'm not on email at all. So I can tell how, like, you know, removed from all that I am. And then I think it was end of December, maybe. I logged on and I decided to check it out. And as soon as I got on there, got invited into all these rooms of friends of mine, like Pat Flynn invited me to something, John Lee Dumas invited me to something, Club Pod was just going on, started to, you know, get traction. And then Paris Hilton became my friend on Clubhouse, and we started having a conversation. So there's all these little things that happened one after the other. So I decided to do 30 days of 20 minutes at least on Clubhouse to get reps in Clubhouse, which allowed me to, you know, be alone in a room for a long time until someone showed up, which is an experience in itself. And
alone with your thoughts in an empty room.
That was my first, the first day. It was 7 minutes before someone showed up, and I've never seen her again, but I'm so grateful that she showed up and like said something to me. So what I believe about Clubhouse is, the thing that really got my attention was there was a very famous jackass white man entrepreneur that probably has been doing this dumb shit his whole life, and mansplaining his way out of stuff and disrespecting women in his own I'm doing right by the planet way. It's weird, right? But in Clubhouse, he, you know, got shown up. It was like he had nowhere to go. Where could he go? And in a room of 1,000 people, that whole thing go down. And I'm glad, because I think we're learning about different groups, what they care about. There's a lot of minorities on the platform. There's a whole adoption there. So I think Clubhouse is great. The medium, obviously, of live social media is amazing. That is probably, it's not necessarily a Clubhouse thing as much as it is a live social audio platform. And I think there is where we needed to kind of pay attention, because right now, if I think about, or we think about images, right? Social media for images is such a mature medium that we stop what we're doing to click a selfie so we can put it there. And that's not native to us. Voice and stories are native to us. So I just want to put that all in perspective as to where I believe the medium is going, because, you know, blogging and video and images are pretty, you know, full, and everything is pointing to audio and podcasting and in different forms. So yeah.
So I'm curious, you made it sound like because it's live and it's people can basically interact whenever they want to in those rooms. Are there any like trolls? Like, are there people there that are just looking to get into arguments and cause problems?
Yeah, obviously. But it's not common.
Oh,
in the sense that I've not faced it myself, but I have been in rooms where it has become like that. And I've also been in rooms where somehow people believe that the way to do right by the world is to really downgrade someone's way of doing something. And I've been in those rooms that has been extremely uncomfortable, which, you know, I've left. And so I try not to get involved in stuff like that. So I would not want to be in any rooms that this person that I was talking about was in, or any of their friends were in. I just wouldn't want to be associated with that brand or with that conversation or any of that stuff. So it probably happens, and it's an attraction thing as well. You know, sometimes people are looking for that kind of thing, and but it's not common. And you can easily, you know, mute them, remove them, report them. There's a lot of consequences to like being a troll on Clubhouse. So,
okay, yeah. No, that's good to know, because, like I said, as I'm just starting to think about getting on there, it's always nice to know that, like you say, at least you can mute them, right? So that for those of us, like, I'm fine now. Like, I've been doing my podcast for a while. I'm used to having these, you know, live to you and I, at least, conversations that I can probably handle myself fairly well. But, you know, for people that are listening that are maybe thinking about it and maybe don't quite have that confidence yet, but still want to try it, it's just nice to know that, you know, there's a bit of a safety factor there for them if they want it, right? So
100%. And it's not only that you can mute them, you can block them and you can remove them from the room. It's quite instantaneous as well. So it's not like And also because it's a room, other people know when there's a jackass, right? So it's not like you're dealing with it on your own. So it's actually, it's good. It happens. It's all right. It's not that bad.
Yeah. They're typically not quiet, are they? Like, to get noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about, you've got, so Bon Appetit, that's the one podcast that you started with. Do you still have that? Is that still currently running? No.
You know, it's not running. It's live and we still get lots of listeners on it, but mm-hmm. no new episodes since 2019, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you have We Are Podcast. Is that one of your podcasts?
We Are Podcast is the conference, the Australian conference that I have.
Okay. Is that still running?
Yep, it is. So Should I Start a Podcast is a podcast that says exactly what it is on the tin. And The Psychology of Entrepreneurship is an audio documentary style podcast. In a lot of the episodes, or a lot of the volumes, where before COVID, I used to go to people's homes, spend time with them, have the long form interview that got broken down and all that kind of stuff. So that's changed, obviously. But a lot of my friends, that's why I used to come to the States a lot, is just like to do interviews. It was an excuse to, meet other people.
What an awesome way to be able to just, I think I'm going to go interview this guy. So I'm going to jump on a plane and go have a conversation. I love that.
Yeah. And I've met some of the most fascinating people on the planet, from amazing Hollywood actors that I would have never even considered like our friends, to, politicians and entrepreneurs and amazing singers and athletes. And you're like, this is a crazy world of podcasting. If you decide to go down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of growth as well, because I can guarantee you now that I'm a very different person to when I started off. I was an actual idiot when I started off. And every time I hear myself, I know how much I've grown as a result. And looking at my, but I, that's what I knew best at the time, right? I didn't do it out of being an idiot, but now when I look back, I'm like, should have known better. But it's a beautiful journey. It's a really beautiful journey.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I started mine about a year and a half ago now, just on a whim. It was kind of an opportunity that presented itself to me. I jumped on it. Didn't worry about being perfect. I just thought this could be fun and I get to meet new people. And like you say, like, I'm not the same person I was a year and a half ago. Like, when I go back and listen, it's like, oh yeah, that was okay. I'm definitely better now than I was back then. But yet, you know what's funny? My very first episode still has the most listens.
Yeah, and that's normal really? As well, by the way. Okay. It's like your back catalog in podcasting is where the gold is, because people kind of really go back and listen to your work. But yeah, I mean, I think that just going through the journey of this is an opportunity, what do I need to grow, how do I grow, because it hurts, right? The growth hurts. That's the thing that in conversations we tend to focus on the champion moments, but there's a lot of like growth moments or spiritual enlightenment moments that that can be ignored. And can be, we can be a victim to them, or we can blame other people or other situations or whatever for them, or we can grow. And I think their podcasting and business and personal development is accelerated in those spaces. So that's really exciting. Yeah.
Well, I think when people see you taking those risks and going through those growth moments, it helps you connect with them too, because they see you doing it and they're like, oh, okay, so we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to know what we're doing all the time, right? I think that really helps us connect on that deeper level as well when we show, I like to joke and call it our soft underbelly, right?
I think people that are trying to get it right all the time are the ones that are faking it the most, yeah. Because they're not in the moment, obviously. And I'm not saying that you don't have to practice, right? If you wanted to run a marathon, you do start by walking around the block and then doing that for 4 weeks before you start to like jog around the block, before you start to even think of doing a 5K before going on. And that is all part of the journey that needs to be respected. Like a lot of times we get impatient because we look at people's social media highlight reel and think that our success needs to come quicker or with less pain. But pain is all relative and it's all perspective. So I am so grateful that somehow a soul got put into me where I care about these things, and this is like a thing that I've pursued. I could have easily ignored them, but I am giving myself more credit these days for the decisions I make.
Awesome. So I have a question for you. So one of your podcasts is, should I start a podcast? So I'd love to know 3 reasons why you think people should start a podcast.
Well, first of all, I don't think they should start a podcast necessarily. I think the answer has changed quite drastically with Clubhouse, because Clubhouse, you can practice before you put stuff out. A lot of times people don't have anything smart to say, right? And they force it. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to be mean. I'm just saying that as in, like, we've not given our thoughts an audience for long enough to be able to concisely say that to someone else in a way that they will listen. Okay. Right? Now we have to be able to refine our argument to a point that we can make it consumable for someone else. And that's why we create content. So all this while, we didn't have a place to practice. Now we can practice, right? And then kind of go out and do it. So for the pure joy of practicing, I think podcasting 100%, you should start a podcast, because just like surfing, you just don't decide to go into the water one day with a board and stand up on a wave. That's not happening, right? So you're getting your reps in and getting a chance to, you know, talk to someone, have a conversation, go deep, and then go even do it on Clubhouse, where you have to moderate between multiple people and, you know, have a campfire kind of conversation where you allow people to have dialogue and go deeper into a topic. It's really about learning, right? Because I can tell you that I had one of the most wealthiest men on the planet, you know, in one of my first Clubhouse rooms, and he got annoyed with the way I ran it and he left in 6 minutes. So that happened too, right? And this person actually has permission to mine resources from the moon, right? This is true story.
Okay.
But that's all I knew at the time. So will I not do it again? Of course not. I will finally land up, you know, making mistakes again, but I'm not making them out of being an idiot or trying to, you know, make myself look good. I know that I'm making genuine mistakes. So, I think the reasons people should start a podcast is to be the hub of their industry, where they can bring people together around a mission that they care about. And I also think people should start a podcast because, here's the thing, Jess, there's never been a more important time for us to use our voices, because the wrong voices are being heard and are being used to run all our decisions. And it has to start with us. And if that is not an important reason, then think about the fact that none of our parents, our grandparents, and the people that came before us. And can you imagine what our ancestors had to go through to even give us freedom of speech, to give us to give us these platforms? Do you, like, it's such a huge it's not you. We're not respecting. We have short-term memory, right? We're not respecting the freedoms that we have, and I think that just to realize that you can change someone's life by a conversation that you had, so that they didn't think that they were alone, like not alone. There's so much power to that. So there's a bunch of reasons why I think people should get into using their voice, whether it is a podcast or not. You know, it depends on whether they're ready for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as much as I love it, it's work. There's definitely work involved. So, but I'm really so glad that you came on, because I'm just loving this message. You know, I agree. Like as you were speaking, I was thinking about my, 91-year-old grandmother who was born in the Netherlands and came here with her family and experienced the war, experienced the hardships. You know, can you imagine? I can't even imagine what she thinks looking at the freedoms and the, opportunities that we have compared to what she had, when she was, say, 16 years old and, married and coming to Canada with her whole family and bringing her husband. And what a crazy, I can't even, I'm stumbling because I'm still trying to just express how crazy it must be for her to see what we're able to do now. And yeah, like you say, like, it's almost disrespectful to not recognize the freedoms that we have and not use it.
Well, and the platforms that they've given us, right? I kind of imagine all my ancestors like literally lying one platform over the other to give me this pedestal. And I'm going, wait, no. I'm going to talk about accountants making more money or some dumb stuff, right? Let's be more real here. So I think the perspective is really amazing. I think traveling has allowed me to do that. I think conversations with people have allowed me to do that. I think being from different cultures and experiencing that has allowed me to do that. So I'm in a very unique position. You know, I was born in Bahrain, like Portuguese culture, Indian culture, living in Australia, dude, like, you know, speaking English.
Oh yeah. No, it really is amazing. And I mean, I'm just so glad that I discovered it. I have a little bit of a story myself where, when I was a kid, I didn't know how to use my voice. I was a shy introvert. I was terrified to have a conversation with somebody and have an opinion, because what happened if they, challenged me on my opinion and I didn't know all the right answers and what was I going to do? And, and one of the things that I actually look for now is people that, now I go looking for people that have different opinions than I do so that I can learn through them, be curious, show up childlike, and get to experience. Like, I haven't traveled the world. I've had a really sheltered life when it comes to that. And so I love being able to meet somebody who has, and they can, I call it, we can transfer some of that, to other people through our experiences. And I now go looking for it. Whereas before, I just wanted to blend into the woodwork and hope nobody wanted to talk to me. Right. So, I'm going to say it. I'm proud of myself for the fact that, I jumped on it and I took that challenge and I've run with it, and it's changed my whole world. My whole life has changed from this.
I can't commend you more for being proud of yourself. And if you haven't read the book, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It, I highly suggest it. It is one of the most transformational things you do, because you can't help someone, or you can't love someone if you don't love yourself. You can't give someone anything you don't have yourself. And we've not been taught to do that, right? We've been taught to the other way around. So good on you. Well
done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to this, it was just a talk that I got the chance to go to one day, and the guy was talking about how we all wear different sets of glasses. And all of our experiences basically create a new filter or a new lens, or I think you use prescription, that we just keep layering on top, right? And what happens is we quite often go looking for those people that have the same prescription as we do so that they can basically reinforce our beliefs. And I think having a podcast, and you probably have also had people on that don't necessarily share your opinion on things. And it's like being able to take those layers of prescription off and intentionally go look for somebody that has a different one. It's a beautiful gift when you can experience that.
Oh, yes. Because I've interviewed people like my father, which I would have never probably done. I've interviewed two mayors. I've interviewed four people on death row who are artists and poets in their own right. So they're actually entrepreneurs, but from death row. I have interviewed some of the most fascinating people. And every time I go into the, you know, because I can feel it now, I go in with some sort of bias, because it's a psychological phenomenon that we have confirmation bias. And I covered a lot on my show. But confirmation bias is the thing. So I go in kind of expecting something, and I'm aware of it. And then it turns out to be entirely different. And you're like, that's the bias, right? And you go, I'm so glad I got a chance to witness the bias, because otherwise I would have been, you know, ignorant like this person that did not experience that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I love it. And, you know, and just listening to you, you know, it helps to reinforce for me that I'm on the right path and that this is something that I'm going to continue to do, regardless of, you know, making any money off of it or anything. It's not why I do it. It's for that. It's the experiences. That's what I do it for. And it sounds to me like you do as well. So, I mean, I know you've grown a business out of yours, but those experiences, you can't pay for that.
No, I think there's a very beautiful balance that needs to be struck when you're making your content, especially after you do it for a while and you start getting reps on the board. And the artists like us tend to ignore that part and kind of go, no, I'm just doing it because I'm enjoying it. And it's a hole like that we don't get out of, because it limits what we can do with that platform, because sustainability for that platform is probably the most important thing. And part of our creativity needs to be lent to making that platform sustainable. To make that platform sustainable, we need money, we need to be able to get listeners, we need to make it useful. So there is a very important element there that needs to be chipped away at for artists like us. Then there's the other kind of people who are not artists, who kind of go, I'm only going to do this if there's an ROI, and they're very generic and they're very structured and they just do it in a certain way. And they've got to get looser to get more creative on the other side, which we love to do, right? So there's a balance, and it's important to recognize that. So yeah, that's It's great that you've got the reps under your belt. I'm happy for that.
I'm working on it. I love it. Again, a bit of a disruptor. Like, I don't have a schedule that I keep to or anything. I pump them out as fast as I can get to them, because I love it. I love doing it. So, okay. So Ronsley, where can people find you? Where would people go to listen to your podcasts and learn more about you?
Yeah, the best place is any of your podcast platforms. Look up Ronsley. There's probably only one Ronsley on the planet at this point. But Should I Start a Podcast and The Psychology of Entrepreneurship are two of my shows that I would love for people to check out. That is probably the place where you can hear my voice and then kind of go, I can follow him somewhere else. But, you know, Ronsley is a name that is easy to Google and find. So, yeah.
So when I join Clubhouse, can I find you just under your name? How do I come and join a group with you? Join a room.
Please, at Ronsley, R-O-N-S-L-E-Y, come join. I love to hear people's voices. It gives me great joy, and I hear it. I know when someone's speaking up for the first time, I can feel all that. It is just, yeah. So please come join me. Join us. If I have any rooms, I have clubs on Clubhouse, The Psychology of Entrepreneurship, and Should I Start a Podcast? So please, would love to hear you. Yeah.
Awesome. And I wanted to let you know that I actually bought your book on Audible today. So I'm going to dive into that as well. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And your book is called Amplifier.
Correct. It's a seven-step method to use podcasting in your business so you can get attention, get engagement, and get sales. It's really important for us to layer them one over the other, because engagement is the podcast. So getting attention to that engagement piece and then taking that engagement and converting that into sales needs to be a business's perspective of how to implement a podcast or audio in their business. So that's what the book is. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's what I would love to learn. So, because for me, up until now, it's been all about the joy. And now I need to get out of that hole, as you put it, and I need to find a way to actually sustain it. So I'm sure that your book is going to help me do that. So thank you. Okay. Before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
I would say that the goal is not as important as the person you become trying to achieve that goal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I love it. Jim Rohn said years and years and years ago, when I first started my seeking of knowledge for personal development, he was one of my favorites, one of my firsts. And he said, work harder on yourself than you do your job. And for me, that has always been, you know, that's been why I am here today, is because I took that to heart. So.
Yeah. Lovely. It's just, I'm so happy that we met. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this space with me, Jessica, it's been really nice. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time. And I know we have a time difference and it's always fun trying to sort that out. But yeah, I'm really enjoyed just having this conversation with you about sharing and raising our voices. So thank you.
Thanks.